From WUOT News, this is The Method, a series exploring the intersection of science and society. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. Later on, we'll meet a University of Tennessee grad student who's trying to tell the story of Tennessee's tornado climatology. But first, Colleen Johnson is the new director of NIMBUS. That's the National Institute for Mathematical and Biological Synthesis, located on the UT campus since 2009. WUOT's Chrissy Kuiper spoke with Johnson about the institute and her plans for its future.
The vision for the program is to bring together biologists and mathematicians to discuss ways to integrate and synthesize information across a variety of disciplines, predominantly problems within those disciplines. Wide variety of topics discussed at NIMBUS, and what we strive to do is to bring together people from a variety of disciplines that can provide a whole picture from a very small scale to a very large scale, so that one can identify what the gaps are and then try to create paths towards solutions.
What's your background?
Chemistry and biology. So I began very interdisciplinary and couldn't decide what to do. I decided, well, I like chemistry, I like biology, so I'll become a biochemist. Still like the smaller scale problems, and so I wanted to study something at a very small scale, and I chose a postdoctoral fellowship in virology, and I've stayed there.
What is the most important job as the director of a think tank like this?
I've come in the seventh year of a 10-year funding, and so I'm dedicated to continuing the sustainment of this type of activity on the UT campus. I am currently working with the foundation office to identify how we can promote sustainment through a variety of activities, not only looking for additional funding from NSF, but to broaden the horizons perhaps to the National Institutes of Health, the Department of Defense, Defense Threat Reduction Agency, and see what else we can do for these other agencies. And as well, what's important here and what's being increasingly called for by NSF is to train students to address global challenges. How do we establish curricula to train someone who's ready to maybe be a virologist like myself and work with an ecologist to understand how an outbreak occurred and do that in a relatively quick time?
And also, I guess, having the data from these collaborations that have taken place before.
That's a nail on the head. And that's also our current Achilles heel. The data that I generate as a virologist is molecular data, cellular data. Whereas the data that an ecologist will generate is at a much larger scale. And so the tools they use, the tools I use, are very different. And so when we generate these data sets, how do we bring these together? And that's an expensive endeavor. Mm-hmm. So how do universities facilitate those interactions? Because we can facilitate collaborations, but at the end of the day, people need support to work on these new problems. And oftentimes, if you don't have that preliminary data, then you're not going to move very far to get your funding from NIH or NSF. You have to have some evidence for the direction you're going.
Vinnie Brown is from Maryland, but he's studying the weather here in Tennessee, specifically the state's tornado patterns. His research is aimed at finding better ways to see and predict tornado trends across the state, ultimately protecting more lives and raising public awareness.
A lot of people, when they think of tornadoes in states that get tornadoes, they don't really think of Tennessee. But if you look at the statistics and some of the data that we look at, you'd realize that they do have a lot of tornadoes, and the tornadoes that do occur, they're very variable. So, for example, in 2010, the state only had 31 tornadoes, but then the next year, 2011, there was 101 tornadoes. And there's a very large gradient from the west to the east with relative frequency of killer tornado events. So areas like Memphis experience a lot of fatalities due to tornadoes. And as you move eastwards towards Knoxville, there's not that many. It's a very unique state when you look at it from fatality statistics and frequency events and things of that nature.
There's something else that makes it unique among the 50 states, and this is something that you found out that I think was published in a previous study, that Tennessee has a very high number of nocturnal tornadoes, or tornadoes that occur at night. Mm-hmm. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so Tennessee, I was surprised to find this out as well. A study found that roughly 46 to 47% of our tornadoes actually occur at night, which is, these are very dangerous tornadoes. They're two times likely to kill when compared to tornadoes that happen during the daytime.
And then why is that? People are asleep, it's night outside, you can't really see tornadoes.
Yeah. Primetime news is already passed, so mm-hmm. you have people that are kind of winding down their evenings, you know, going to sleep, and they don't, you know, heed the warnings. You know, if you're not awake, you're not going to hear the warnings.
Right.
There's a high proportion of mobile homes as well. So when you combine with tornadoes happening at night with mobile homes, you kind of get a bad mix there.
So there are differences in the weather from one side of the state to the other. Mm-hmm. What has your research indicated about the differences in tornadoes from one side of the state to the other?
The tornadoes that we've seen that occur on the western portion of the state seem to be more longer track tornadoes. They seem to be, and they happen a lot more frequently. The ones that we see towards, as you move eastward, the more outbreak, the more flashy. There's no real defined season for tornadoes. So when you look towards more of the western portion of the state, it's more of a peaky, you know, the standard April, May, June tornadoes.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you move eastward, you see late fall, even winter, there's a very high occurrence of tornadoes. And it's something people don't really think about. When you think about Tennessee's tornado season, it's not like Oklahoma's. It's not a standard middle, early spring event. We get them all throughout the year. And that's one of the reasons to draw attention to this research, because you might not expect a tornado in wintertime in February and January, but it can happen.
Well, your research is still in the early stages. You're working on this long-term project. There's a lot of data to go through, to chew through and think about. What are some of the big questions you hope to answer? What are the things you want to find out by the time you get to the end of your project?
My overall goal is to help protect life and property. That's the main reason we all do it. We want to save lives. We want to be able to bring awareness to this deadly atmospheric hazard. But my overall goal with my research is I would like to link larger climate oscillations, things like El Nino, even shifts in the jet stream, to possibly local, to regional, even to state level tornado activity. Be awesome. It'd be a cherry on top of my little master's career.
I'm sure. All right. Well, good luck on the rest of your research. Keep us informed about it.
Thank you. We'll have you
back to talk about it. Vinnie Brown is a graduate student at the University of Tennessee researching the climatology, that is, the patterns of tornadoes across the state. Vinnie, thank you so much for being with
us today. Thank you for having me.
That does it for this edition of The Method. You can download every episode on iTunes or at our website, wuot.org. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth.